I'll ask my questions.
Yeah, great, and then get boring. And then get boring and you can move up.
This is something I'd like, you know, I'm talking about. Yeah, just to make sure. I have too many questions to do. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Just because I really, just starting to listen.
Really ready.
Learning all the ramifications. But,
yeah, the Water Environment Committee will come to order. I'd like to welcome everybody today. We have a very important discussion to have this morning. Several important bills we're working on. First order of business will be HJM 13, and the staff will read the description.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Joint Memorial 13 urges the President of the United States, Senate and House of Representatives of the United States, and the Administrator of the United States Environment Protection Agency to enforce environmental laws equally between the government bodies and those in private sectors. Thank you.
Call forward Senator Atkinson to present this bill. Welcome to our humble House Committee.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Jason Atkinson, State Senator, District 25.
Good morning.
This was last session, perhaps one of, I think this was my favorite committee, so it's nice to do that. This particular bill I will speak to very briefly. I think there's other people who would like to add a little bit more concrete to the measure. Essentially what this bill asks is for equity in the enforcement of environmental rules equally between governmental bodies and private sector. It just says that if we're going to be serious about clean water and clean air and clean environment, that we should do it by one set of rules, not two. I think you will hear today one of the more interesting cases that has been kicked around in the last couple of weeks about the Wallowa River rancher who had a stray cow. The stray cow over time eventually cost that particular rancher up to $50,000 until he was able to negotiate that fine down. While at the same time, the municipality, the city of Portland, during that same period of time, had dumped, I think, 42 million gallons of raw sewage in the Willamette, paid $14,000 worth of fine. Truth be told, the city's own website, that particular city, says that they dump 3.4 billion gallons of raw sewage into the Willamette every year. It's billion with a B, not million with an M. It's 3.4 billion gallons. And essentially, I think you'll also hear testimony today about the agreement that they have that will allow them to do that for another 10 years. Here's why I'm interested in this bill. There's a couple of different water cases I work on that give me a lot of pride to be associated with. The one that I'd like to talk to you about this morning is a case in the small little community of French Glen. I don't even know if all of you know where that place is, but it's a town of about 30 people within 30 square miles. In that particular town, for the last year and a half, I've been working on an agreement to help them get their, essentially what has happened is a leaky fuel tank and get that cleaned up. Over the course of that leaky fuel tank and various agencies, this particular small business has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of their own money on consulting engineers and on legal counsel to get the deal fixed. The deal has not gotten fixed. I will say, to their credit, in the last 2 months, the DEQ has been very cooperative with me. I will say that for the record. I said that I would do that. But it's been about a year and a half to get to this point. At the end, this small business is out of money. They can't afford an army of lobbyists. They cannot afford an army of lawyers. They only get a $1,280 a month state senator. That's all they got. And that, to me, those odds, I don't like very much, because essentially what you have is you have a free ride to pollute versus shutting down a business. and I find that to be very inequitable. And so what we have attempting to do here in this particular measure is say that what we're interested in is equitable, is having one set of rules that everybody can apply to. And if we need breathing room in the private sector to get on with cleanup, then we need some breathing room. The city of Ashland. Let me talk to you about the city of Ashland. I don't represent the city of Ashland, but I'm pretty close to the city of Ashland. The city of Ashland has spent millions of dollars on their raw sewage cleanup, their processing plant. That water goes automatically into Bear Creek, which some of you may know. They have spent millions of dollars on this water treatment plant, and I encourage all of you, the reason I bring that up is that they complied quickly. And that if you go through a tour of their water treatment plant, at the very end of the tour, something very interesting happens. They give you this long ladle. Somebody welded, got this handle on it, this long ladle at the end. You dip that ladle in the water that's about to go into the river, and you bring it up, and everyone is encouraged to have a sip because the water's clean. But yet, a couple of weeks ago, another 4 million gallons went into the Willamette. Everybody said, no, you're picking on City of Portland. I'm not picking on City of Portland. What I'm saying is if we're serious about clean water and having fish recovered, we have to have the laws apply equally. There's a blank spot in this particular bill that I think someone's probably going to ask me about. I'm not interested in disrupting a sweetheart deal that the city has. I'm personally offended with the 20-year window that allows a municipality to dump 3.4 billion gallons of raw sewage into the water. Fish can't win. If it's sunny outside and the sewage doesn't go into the river, then they're okay. But fish need water to spawn. It's rain that brings them up, and it's rain that causes them to perhaps swim through raw sewage. I mean, the fish can't win here. So what I'm asking for in this particular measure is some breathing room for the private sector and some equality in enforcement. I think if we're serious as a state, and we are, but if we as a state are serious about cleanup, about water and clean air, we have to have one set of rules. And that's what this urges Congress and the President of the United States to enforce. With that, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Questions for the Senator? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Committee, we have a list of people who have been invited to come to testify. And we've allotted them 5 minutes each. This is at the request of the sponsor of the bill, Representative Menes. So after these people have spoken, then we will be opening it up to public testimony. And I believe there is a sign-up sheet. Have you collected it? There's one. Okay. So I'll call the next witness, which is Jared Broswick.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Jared Broadfoot, a student at Willamette University and a registered lobbyist for the Oregon Sportsman's Defense Fund. I am here today representing myself and here to support House Joint Memorial 13. Over the past month, I have been doing research regarding the enforcement of environmental law within the state of Oregon. This research is part of a school project that I have for the semester. While researching, I specifically looked at the Department of Environmental Quality and their enforcement files for the year 2000. I can only speak to the public records that were presented to me by the Department of Environmental Quality at the time of my research. If any changes were made, they were not part of the enforcement files that I reviewed. With saying that, I will begin into my research. What I found is I pulled 27 cases where civil penalties were assessed due to violation of Oregon environmental law concerning water quality or the dumping of raw sewage. These cases were pulled. I thought they were pertinent to my research and to my thesis. I'd like to start with a comparison between the city of Portland and all other entities in the state, not to pick on the city, but I thought it was a good place to start. A combined total of $122,177 in fines were issued to private entities, public entities, and municipalities for water or ground-related contamination for the amount of approximately 1.8 million gallons of sewage and other non-toxic contaminants. Not figured into that figure was $14,700 in penalties to the city of Portland for dumping 42 million gallons of sewage into the Columbia River. I'll go to the comparison between public and private entities. My first comparison would be $15,152 in penalties to Saginaw Park Incorporated for having a sand filter that was failing by discharging partially treated sewage onto the ground on several occasions, with the amount of discharge not estimated. Compare that to the $14,700 in fines to the city of Portland for dumping 42 million gallons.
Jared, why would that discharge not be estimated? Why would there be a penalty but no?
On the enforcement file that I reviewed, there was no estimated amount. They had what was stated is that they had just had seepage onto the ground from their filter failing. So DEQ did not specify any amount that was leaked onto the ground. I took that as maybe the amount wasn't significant enough that they could not tell.
So are they not required to give an amount to levy a fine?
I can't answer that. I don't know what they're if they're required or not to give an amount to levy a fine, but I would assume not because of the records that I reviewed as far as the penalties went. So the second comparison that I have is a $5,912 fine to River House LLC for disposing of wastewater from the indoor swimming pool and spa and hotel to the stormwater collection system, which drains directly into the Deschutes River. And I'd like to compare that to the $7,200 fines to the city of Salem for discharging estimated 492,000 gallons of raw sewage into the Willamette Slough, which flows directly into the Willamette River. Again, the amount of contamination or water from the private entity was not specified on the enforcement file. In both cases, the amount of discharge and the threat to human health and the environment were substantially higher from the public entity than from the private entity. I say that with the assumption that the amount from the private entity from the private entity was not substantially high due to the fact that they did not list the amount of seepage onto the ground or into the water. I would like to switch now to toxic contamination into the waters of the state. From the files that I pulled, I found $399,000 in fines issued for water-related contamination involving toxic contaminants in the following amounts. There were five different cases. One case was 7 pounds of cyanide. The next one was 200 gallons of diesel fuel. The next one was 1 gallon of floor paint. And the next was industrial cleaning products. Again, the amount was not specified. And the last was 1,500 gallons of sulfuric acid. The comparison there would be $399,000 in fines for toxic contamination. And the figure that I gave you of $122,177 plus the $14,700 to the city of Portland for non-toxic contamination. In a phone conversation with DEQ agent Colonel Christensen.
Excuse me, Jared. Representative Morgan has a question.
Yeah. Jared, what in the list that amounts to the $399,000 in fines, are these all unrelated situations, or is there a relationship between them?
There is no relation to any of these cases. As far as there are five separate cases on their own. For example, the 200 gallons of diesel fuel was where a trucking company, one of their semis was wrecked and consequently, the fuel from that truck seeped into one of the rivers, waters of the state.
Okay.
So, all five of these are separate fines from different companies.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Representative Johnson.
I'd be interested in the specifics for each one if you have them.
I've presented the committee with a source list, and I can definitely bring you the exact copy of the enforcement file. I can do that.
Thank you.
Continue in a phone conversation.